Welcome to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Napolitano, Mr. Rushforth.
Buongiorno.
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 Thanks for Frank for letting us in late, eh? Like, you know, Jesus, it's a Zoom show and you're late. Jeez.
Well, he had to get all the way to the office, you know.
Well, you know what?
I was paying for breakfast. Well, you'll get breakfast at the door.
You know, he's never late when I'm buying breakfast every weekend, but no, the one weekend I'm not buying breakfast, he's late.
How go the renos, Frank? Are you having fun with that?
It's coming. Messy. Anytime you get drywall involved, it becomes extremely messy. So it's and some flooring redone. So it's been a challenge, but once it's done, it'll be beautiful.
Did you get Paulin to appraise the place first? Hey, what's going on with rates, Frank? Why are they creeping up all of a sudden?
Well, I think you know, there's a couple of factors in there. Inflation being one of them. Obviously, inflation's the big one, and the expectation that inflation will continue for the next 3 to 6 months. So therefore, the bond markets are reacting accordingly. Obviously, the banks won't let the bond markets go up without raising their fixed rates. So we've noticed over the last 3 weeks now that there's been a couple of increases. Again, nothing dramatic, you know, nothing that should, you know, change someone. In other words, nobody's going to lose their home because a five-year mortgage is closer to 2.5% than it was at 2%. So because, again, everybody's having to qualify pre-June 479 and today 5.25. So, you know, the qualifying's in place, that stress test rate is in place for that. I still think it's a big stretch from 2.5 to 5.25, but nonetheless, that's in place. But, you know, expect fixed rates to be a little bit unstable over the next 3 or 4 months, just because depending on the inflation numbers, obviously the job numbers are over the top. Apparently there's less people unemployed today than there was pre-pandemic, even though every single retail and or service place that I go into is looking for employees. So it's quite interesting. You know, the only thing that makes sense is maybe there's a whole bunch of part-time jobs that have been created. So the full-time been replaced by the part-time jobs, and therefore, you know, there's the same amount of people working, but less hours, or CERB counts as part of a job. Maybe that's the case. So,
well, CERB's ending. Is it not ending at the end of this month?
Yeah, supposed to, but it's going to be replaced by something else with a different name, which will, again, probably skew some of the numbers, I would think.
I think it'll be tougher to get, though.
I think it will, too. I know people who right now are sitting on the sidelines who are qualified and they can work, and they're not. They're just, why would they? They're making more on CERB. Like, it's, you know, as the world's starting to open up, take it away. I mean, there are people that need it. Don't get me wrong. There's definitely people that need it. But there's lots of people that are taking advantage of the system, which is totally wrong. And there's,
oh, for, you know, sure,
we're,
for sure.
We're honestly, right now, we're in a customer service crisis in Canada. You know, it's, I'm talking just about Ottawa, too. But we're in a customer service crisis right now. We're seeing some employers now who are making minimum wage a lot more. I mean, they're offering, you know, 18, 19 bucks an hour rather than whatever minimum wage is, 14 or 15 or whatever. So
I'm waiting for Steve to bring up the story this week where in Vancouver, a restaurant hired a dishwasher. You know what their starting salary was?
What?
$50,000. Dishwasher. Wow. In Vancouver, and because they have no choice, they can't find anybody to do it, so they posted it at $50,000, and they got a slew of resumes, and they've hired somebody at $50,000.
Boy, I wish you would have called me earlier, Frank.
Yeah. But it's true. You go into restaurants now, and unfortunately, the service is so poor because they're so short staffed, and it's tough. I mean, if you want a job, now's the time, because there's tons of jobs out there. Tons of jobs. Everyone's hiring.
I thought it was just me, but you guys have noticed the quality of service go down in all the service industries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought I was just losing my patience.
No.
No, you know what? That's across the board, though. Like, with all fairness, I mean, it's across the board. I mean, we're seeing it at the, you know, banks are having a hard time hiring underwriters, conditions people. So, therefore, the, you know, the lag time for us is much longer than it's ever been. And you know, they prioritize purchases over refinances. You know, I had a client say, Frank, my renewal is up. I call the bank and the earliest appointment I can get is 3.5 weeks from now, which is absolutely absurd. So, but that's what we're seeing. And again, it's a shortage of employees, or in the bank's case, I think it's, they've cut their hours so much that that the slots are filling up that much quicker as people are starting to go back to the branches to meet with their financial advisors.
But they went.
I actually talked to I won't even say who I talked to because I'll kind of give it away, but I talked to someone this week who runs a pretty good major corporation, and he said he's having struggles with his admin staff trying to find excuses why they can't come back to the office, even though they're healthy and safe, everything's safe at the office. He says he's struggling. They're trying to find ways not to come back to the office, which is, I mean, the world has to get back to normal. We're going into stage four now, which is awesome. They're starting to open up things fully. Gyms are full. You know, restaurants can be full capacity, which is awesome. And I think that going forward, we just have to learn to live with this terrible disease and move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 90% of us are inoculated in Ottawa. So, you know, is it 90? Vaccine. I think it's 90. We're up
86.
We're up to 90, at least with a single dose, 90.
Yeah. 86 with two.
Yeah. With two. So very, very high numbers. Again, the restaurants, what scares me about the restaurants is, they're struggling to service at the capacity they're at now. On Monday, they're going to go to full capacity. I don't know how they're going to be able to do it. I mean, the restaurant owners are thrilled, except for they can't find employees, and that's going to be the struggle. But, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to the office environment, Paul, and I don't know what you've done. I think I've talked about in our situation, we've implemented a hybrid solution where, you know, some of our staff, you know, there's 2 days a week that they can work from home, and then the other 3 days it's in the office, so that at least we're kind of meeting them in the middle. I think our staff like it. I think our efficiencies are there right now. You know, we're able to do the same work. So good for the staff members, for our staff members, if they can take those 2 days a week and either get their kids to school or be home when their kids come home. You know, I think there's lots of benefits to it, but at the same time, also still maintain a work environment where they come into the office the 3 days a week and we get to see each other. So
I'm all about metrics and results. If you have the results working from home, I'm okay with it. If you don't have the results, get your butt back in the office. That's where you're going to be. So I'm all about results.
I don't think I'd want to work for you if I didn't produce, Paul.
No kidding.
Hey, no. I'm fair as they come. In fact, I'm overly fair, but I'm also very results-based driven. I mean, customer service is very, very important, and results is everything.
Yeah, I don't need you anymore anyway. I'm going to Vancouver to wash dishes.
Yeah, perfect. I'm coming with you.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. To the phones we go, all beautiful downtown Kanata. Say hello to Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hey, guys.
Morning.
Sorry.
Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano.
Hello?
Got to turn your radio down there, Peter.
Sorry about that. I took you off speaker there.
No worries.
My apologies. Listen, so I have a mortgage. So it was a four-year mortgage I renewed. It's coming up on April next year. At the time, Frank had actually set me up with Scotiabank because they had the same rate that he was able to get for me through a mortgage broker. So the financial advisor reached out to me this week and wants to discuss my mortgage. I'm not sure exactly what percentage I'm at. I'm fortunate I have it on me, but I think it was 279, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just wondering if I go see this guy, like what I should be looking for, and just any advice you might have for me.
Yeah, so I mean, the quick answer is that there used to be a time when here's the best 5-year rate, here's the best 4-year rate, and the banks generally have that, with the exception of high ratio purchases where they've got a little bit better rates. But depending on the balance versus the value of your home, and if you're just doing a straight renewal on the same mortgage amount, find out what they offer you and then maybe reach out to me, because my guess is that there might be a better option out there. Okay. But the difference is that, you know, if you go somewhere else, we can get a rate guarantee for 4 months. So if your mortgage is up in April, we got to wait until December before we can lock in a rate. With Scotiabank, what they do is they guarantee the rate for 6 months. So they will early renew you. So again, I mean, you don't have to talk about it on the radio, but depending on how much you owe on the mortgage versus what the value of your home is, will determine, you know, find out what rate they give you. And then from there, maybe we can chat about what other options might be available. And maybe your best bet could be to stay with them, or it could be to maybe sit it out for another month and see what happens if we can lock in a rate.
Gotcha. So, yeah, that'll be my 14th year on a 25-year mortgage. And the mortgage at the time was about 260, and my house is probably about double that now. So,
yeah. So what's left on the mortgage, though?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But again, just based on those numbers alone, Yeah. You know, I would say that you should be able to get a 5-year fixed in the 2.19, 2.25 range right now with the increases over the last 2 weeks.
Okay, so maybe I'll sit down with them, see what he offers, and then I'll throw it back at you and see
yeah.
what
you can help me with. Awesome. Yeah, if they offer you a really competitive rate, the benefit of renewing with them is that you get out of the 2.79 now without a penalty, and you actually start the lower rate sooner. So it makes sense sometimes to early renew.
Would that be a blended rate then, Frank?
No, it wouldn't be a blended rate. The way some of the banks will do is at the six-month mark, they waive the penalty for the last 6 months, and they start you off on a brand new term at the brand new rate without adding any penalties.
So what rate do you think they would offer, assuming he's at 2.79?
Well, I think they're going to offer him closer to 2.5, but you should be able to get in closer to 2.25. So that's your goal, is to try to get in at 2.25% for a 5-year fixed.
Okay, great. Great advice. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Peter.
Okay, you're welcome.
Hey, Paul, what's going on with new construction? Why is it down so much? I think 4.5% compared to last month or last year.
Well, the problem is, one, the shortage of supplies, and two, the shortage of labor. I mean, there's no one working right now. It's tough. I mean, there's builders looking for skilled laborers and try to get product, try to get lumber, try to get drywall, try to get anything. It's really, really tough right now. So builds are taking much longer. I mean, I had someone reach out to me the other day and said, you know, my builder says that's my house is going to be ready in 12 months. You know, I'm thinking of listing it, you know, such and such a time. Do you think I should do it? I'm a little bit nervous. And I said, well, as the build happens, tell me what stage they're at, and I'll let you know how close you're going to be to needing to list your home. Because there's a lot of builders now, not the major ones, like the, you know, the Mintos and the Mattamies and the Cardells, and that they're usually not late on their time. But the smaller builders sometimes are late with their possession dates. So it's tough. I mean, this guy is in a bind because he can't afford to hold two homes. Yet he has to list his home at the right time to get it sold, but he doesn't want to get it sold too quick and then be without a house, right? So it's a little tougher right now. Usually back in the day, pre-pandemic, when supplies were flowing and labor was strong, you know, I could always tell you exactly what stage you need to be to list your house to get it ready, or to get it sold, sorry, for your new build. Nowadays, it's tough to know when builders are if they're going to be on time. I mean,
are they running into an import problem too with fixtures and things like that?
Absolutely, they are. Absolutely, they are, for sure. I mean, it's they're struggling. They're struggling, especially some of the large track builders, like the Mintos, the Mattamies, and all that. They build at a fast, fast pace, and they're having to slow down because of it. Because they're struggling to get product and imports, and it is tough right now. Very tough.
But the labor is the bigger issue for them. You talk to some of the builders, and finding enough labor to be able to do the work is the bigger issue. Even if they find the product, then they struggle trying to get people to actually install some of the finishings.
And I think with the ending of CERB, and listen, if you're someone who needs to be on it, I apologize for saying this, but with the ending of CERB, the people who are, you know, let's say screwing the system will have to get back to work, you know? Yeah. So I think at the end of the month, when they stop CERB, I think the people that are screwing the system and get back to work will pick up a lot of like the laborers and those types. I think they'll pick up, definitely.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're screwing the system, Paul. I mean, the system is there. I mean, it's no different than when the banks offered to put the mortgage payments on hold. I mean, not everybody needed it, but they took advantage of it because it was there. And I think the same thing is happening with the CERB. I think if the government's opening that door, whether we agree with it or not, at the end of the day, these people are saying, I'd rather stay home for $2,000 a month than go to work. If the government's opened that door, then it's up to them to take it. And, you know, I don't think they're taking advantage of the system.
I'm with Paul on this one.
Yeah, I'd say that's absolutely hogwash. If you're screwing the system, if you're able to work and you're sitting at home collecting your CERB, you know, smoking pot and drinking beer, shame on you. Shame on you.
Get if back our government's letting them do it, then, hey, shame on the government. You know, shame on us for, no, I just, but where it's going to hurt them is if those jobs get taken up and now they can't find a job. That's the risk for them.
Yeah,
right?
Then they'll go on unemployment.
Well, yeah, then they go on unemployment. I have a young guy who's doing that, and I said to him, I said, get back to work. And he's like, well, I'm getting paid more money to sit on CERB than I would have back to work. And I said, well, you know what's going to happen? Once CERB ends and the jobs are filled, you are now going to be looking for a job, and you're going to work in a dead-end job that you don't want to do. Or you're going to go on unemployment. Like it's.
Well, it's, we may get a crush of people looking for work all of a sudden, right? When this ends. So this.
That's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. We're going to see loads of people looking for work. And it's going to be the jobs that you know, the service jobs, retail, laborers, those people are going to get back to work. And there's going to be a glut of people going into the workforce.
And you know what happens, Frank, if they can't find jobs, they become real estate agents.
It's such an easy job to do.
Steven. I'll tell you the one thing that the real estate board has done is they've really increased the bars of entry into real estate. You now have to do a Humber College course, and it's much tougher. I'm having people going through the course right now. It's tough, and it should be. Yeah. I know places in the States you can get your license in a Cracker Jack box. Like you really can. It's a weekend course, and then you're a realtor. It's so wrong. Whereas here in Canada, well, in Ontario. It's always been fairly difficult, but now it's much more difficult, which is awesome.
Yeah, and it became progressively more and more difficult over the last 15, 20 years, right?
It has. I mean, there's a lot that we have to deal with as realtors, and it's, the education part is key, and the course is much tougher now. And then once you get out of the course, there's also a huge education piece after that to really be an effective businessman and realtor.
Yeah, probably so even more so with your team.
Well, with my team, it's tough. I mean, I just had two people just join me, and they took about 2.5 months. Whereas, you know what, maybe other places or other teams, maybe they'd be on the road, within a week, within 2 weeks, within 3 weeks. I don't know what the policies are, but with my team, I want them to go on the road like they're an absolute veteran right out of the gate. So I train them and train them and train them so they feel like they're so confident that they can be a really, really good realtor, and then they're ready to go. Yeah. And you know, the first appointment they go on, they actually have confidence, which is key.
Yeah. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We are back in off to beautiful downtown Elmont. Say hi to John. Hello, John.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing great. We're ready for you.
Okay. I have a question for Paul. And so we live in rural Elmont, about 5 minutes from downtown Elmont. We have a 6-acre property with, and we have a small storage business that we run. We can store about 30 units, trailers, boats, cars, whatever.
Right.
In an indoor, two indoor buildings. My question is, if we decide to sell, does the fact that we have this business running there, would that affect the price? Could we ask a little more, or does it? I guess it all depends on who buys it, right?
Well, it all depends on who buys it. And are you zoned? What are you zoned?
Yeah, we're zoned. We're all legit. It's all good on paper. We're registered and everything.
It is legit. Okay, so you have to have some commercial zoning, correct?
Yes, I'd say yes, okay. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it definitely will help your price. I mean, anytime you can have some extra income coming in. Problem being is you're banking on someone. If you factor in that into your price, you're banking on someone buying it who wants that business. And not everybody wants that, right? I mean, if you're on 6 acres and you do have some privacy away from that business, it's probably a lot more advantageous. But yeah, we could definitely factor that into the price as well. But you can't factor the full amount because otherwise you're banking on that only option of someone buying it for that business and your house. So
yeah.
something we definitely have to see and come up with a price for you on the spot.
Would you be better off selling it as a business or as residential?
Well, it all depends on the house, right? Yeah. If the house is in great shape.
The house we bought an old farmhouse. Was on a 96-acre farm. A guy bought it, cut off the 6 acres with the house and the barns. We bought it. We renovated the old farmhouse from top to bottom. We're just finishing up the kitchen right now. We bought it 5 years ago. I think we paid about $327 for it 5 years ago. So we're hoping to make some money on it for sure, you know.
Oh, and you will. I mean, there was a huge influx to people going to the outskirts when this pandemic hit, and Elmont was one of those places that took advantage of that. So, I mean, your price has definitely skyrocketed over the last 2 years. And, if you want us to take a look at the property, let us know. We'd be happy to come out and let you know what we think you should do and shouldn't do and what we believe the price would be to get it sold for you.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate
it. Thanks, John.
Yep,
my pleasure.
So, Frank, if you're in that situation – and you've already got business running, where you know the people are coming back every year to, you know, drop off their boats, you're making money on the side. Can you take that into account when you're trying to get a mortgage on a place like that as income?
You can. You can. I mean, in that scenario, it's probably zoned. There's got to be some commercial zoning attached to it. It could be residential and commercial zoning. So the mortgage itself would be unique in itself, that it would probably be a commercial mortgage. But
tell your renovators to stop for a minute, will you?
Yeah, I am. Give me a second.
Hey, Paul, we didn't cover off last week. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, he's late for the show. He's got renovations going in the background. How professional is this guy, you know?
Yeah. You know, he'd be that employee that you'd say, no, you can't work from home anymore.
Exactly. Time to get back to the office, yeah. Sorry, what did you want to know about last week?
Well, we didn't talk about last week. Is it still slow going?
It's very slow going, to be honest with you. It's amazing how quick this market just sort of went dormant or quiet. I mean, things are still moving. Don't get me wrong. I mean, after the show every week, someone calls me and says, "Oh, Mark, is that dead?" I'm like, no, it's not dead. It's just we went through such a robust market and it was so crazy. But, you know, we're still short on listings. We're actually under 1,900 now. We're at 1,824, which is not uncommon. People at this time of year have the thought of, you know what, I'm going to take it off the market. Christmas is coming. Halloween's coming. You know, I want to decorate the house. I don't want people coming through my house during Christmas. So you do get a lot of people who take their house off the market during Christmas and put it back on in the spring market. But saying that, anybody who's looking for a house right now is, and they're looking at houses over Christmas, they are looking to buy. So I'd be very careful about taking your house off over Christmas. I mean, you could obviously not have showings on, you know, certain days that are leading up to Christmas, but I definitely,
yeah, we got a good 4 or 5 weeks before you have to worry about that.
Yeah, we do. I mean, usually it doesn't really quiet down until, you know, maybe the 10th of December is when people start to get totally into vacation mode and kids coming off school and, you know, shopping and just the spirit. And then it picks back up usually around the 10th of January. So we go through about a month of about a really slow, slow market where no one's really focusing on real estate. But, you know, we're quite a ways off December 10th, right? We got another 5-6 weeks left of hopefully a good market. And, you know, I've been saying, and Frank, and we've mentioned this before, that we do expect some little blip or push as we get into those months. We haven't seen it yet. You know, number of listings is still down. The rental market is through the roof. Right now, there is actually 20 more homes for rent in Barrhaven than there are for sale.
Wow.
There's almost, when I look at Barrhaven, Kanata, and Orleans, there's almost the same amount of homes for sale as there are for rent. You know, we're about 50 homes shy of being even. So, you know, the new listings by week increased slightly. The sold properties by week decreased slightly. And the average sale price stayed flat last week. So it's just a very stagnant market right now that hopefully picks up and we have that little blip before the Christmas period hits.
You know what? Given the last 6-8 months, if I'm a buyer, I'm all over this market right now.
Well, you know what's funny is I've been saying this on the radio show now for quite a while. I actually did a video the other day on it. It's just there's still buyers out there that think we're in this insane bidding war type of market, and we are not in that. So if you were shell-shocked and, you know, hungover from what happened in you know, Jan, Feb, March, April, May, and June, don't worry. We're not doing that anymore. I'm looking at homes right now that I'm on a search for that have been on the market for 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. There's homes that have been on the market for quite a while. So you're a buyer out there. We're seeing lots of red arrows pointing down, meaning decreasing in price. You're a buyer right now. You're in the driver's seat. I mean, we're still in a slight seller's market, but we're teetering towards that balanced market, and we will hit that balanced market probably by early spring if things continue the way they are.
Much better negotiating power now, right?
Much better negotiating power. And this is where a realtor really shows their skills. I mean, it's, you have to be sharp right now. I mean, when you list a home, you have to be sharp. And when you're working with buyers, you have to be sharp. You know, it was before there was no negotiating power. It's like, here's what the seller wants. If you don't want to pay it, get lost.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, buyers have to really put the screws to the sellers, and sellers got to do the same to the buyers. And you got to negotiate hard and make it a win-win for all parties involved.
Your clients got to be more optimistic now, Frank.
Much more optimistic. I mean, a little disappointed they're seeing rates go up a little bit, but at the end of the day, when it comes to real estate shopping, they're feeling awesome about it because they're not having to be in a situation that they were 3-4 months ago, having to go up against 20-30 people and bidding much more than they wanted to on a certain home. And then, I mean, you know, just as bad was the fact that you were going in without a home inspection and, you know, you were buying a house with 5% down, but going in without a financing clause, which is so risky because if the lender or the default insurer decide that the house value is not there, now you're stuck having to come up with a difference. So now it feels much more reasonable, much more, you know, you can tell just how comfortable the buyers are right now at the fact that they can go home and sleep on it overnight and be able to make a fair offer in their opinion. And if the offer is not accepted, then at least there's something coming back for them to negotiate on as opposed to just being turned down flat.
Yeah, I monitor all the company feedback on all our showings on our properties. And it's shocking how it totally twisted. It used to be, we will be bringing you an offer on offer day. Now it's kind of like, we're going to look at a bunch of other comparable homes and then we'll get back to you next week if we're still interested. Like, I'm thinking next week, that never happened in the first part of this market. It was like, you either pay this price or get lost. Now it's totally changed. The feedback is a lot of patience, a lot of, you know, checking out other properties in the meantime, which we did not see in the first half of this year.
Now, yeah, but vendors feel like they lost out, right, Paul? But they're not losing out. Like the vendors have, you know, if you had a house, if you've had a house for the last number of years, your value's up tremendously. And it hasn't really come down from the peak of this market 3-4 months ago. It's just that now you're listing it, you're getting what you're listing it for as opposed to getting bids. And they get caught up in the big difference is before they were listed at a lower price and the bids were $100,000 over. Now that house is being listed at that $100,000 over and you're getting bids in that price range, right? In most neighborhoods.
January 1st, 2020. Okay, so not even 2 years ago, average sale price was $441,000. Today it's $648,000. It's gone up over $200,000 in less than 2 years. So if you're a seller and you're disappointed that you're not getting those crazy $100,000 and $200,000 over asking, keep in mind, we've gone up over $200,000 is what you've increased. So,
and the value is holding, right, Paul?
The value, we're seeing it is holding, yes. But we've seen a little bit of dip over the last 3 months. We've seen about a $10,000 drop in the average sale price.
Yeah, but compared to where it was, that's nothing.
We're up $200,000. If we drop a tiny bit, are we really dropping? No, we're not really dropping. We've made unbelievable gains, probably gains that we will never see in our lifetime again in that short a period. I don't think so. I mean, obviously, you're a lot older, Steve, so I mean, you probably won't, you know. So
that means I won't live through as many pandemics as you.
Yeah. But no, like I don't suspect that I will ever see an average sale price going up $200,000 less than 2 years ever again in my lifetime.
Yeah, I'm sure you never thought you'd see it in Ottawa to begin with.
Never. So if you're a seller, just remember, if you would have sold 18 months ago, you would have been getting at least $200,000 less on your home. So yeah, just be happy with the appreciation you've got over the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah. 521-TALK, 521-8255. Our final segment. Frank, you can get the guys working again. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. Frank, did you foresee these little increases coming this soon?
Once the inflation numbers came out, that was our concern, is the fact that if inflation's at that number, and it feels like it's almost like the Bank of Canada is telling us that. No, now again, they made an announcement this week that they think it's a short term where inflation numbers will be higher. So basically what they're telling us over the next 2, 3, 4 months, that expect the inflation numbers to be above the target rate that they're looking for. So hence the bond market hears that announcement and boom, they start going up, and that's what we've seen. So, so I think right up until the end of the year, we'll see inflation numbers go up. Probably in that 4% range, 3-4% range per every month. So that'll spike the bond markets a little bit every time it happens. So, you know, between now and the end of the year, expect maybe fixed rates to might go up another 0.25 percentage point. As far as prime is concerned, and now what it's doing, it's opening up the door for variable to be that much more attractive because the prime rate hasn't changed. The lenders are still fairly aggressive at what their offerings are when it comes to a variable rate mortgage. So now, you know, instead of the spread between a fixed and a variable being 0.75 percentage point, in some cases it's 1-1.25 percentage points. So all of a sudden you've got clients saying, Wonder if I should take the variable at this point. And I always say, listen, if you can sustain the fact that prime will start to go up, supposed to be fall of next year, but if inflation numbers continue to be high, then expect maybe prime to start going up in the spring. But, you know, I still think it'll be the fall likely. But at the end of the day, I mean, you need to, what you want to do is if you can afford to go variable and not, you know, if you're the type that if prime goes up, you're not going to lose sleep, then I would take, you know, take the variable. But if you're the type that is going to be nervous every time the prime goes up a quarter point, then you're better off just to lock in on the fix now and set your payments accordingly. But, you know, if you take a variable and you're comfortable with it, one way of really going up against the fix and maybe calming some of your fears is to set your payments as if you took a fixed rate mortgage so that, you know, you're paying more towards the principal as you're in the lower rate. And at that point, you know, when prime does start to go up, you're already ahead of the curve.
So if I buy a house with Paul tomorrow, I can lock in a rate, right?
You can lock in a rate right now. And again, you can get 4-month rate locks either on the variable or on the fixed side. But again, on the variable, what you do is you get the discount. So if it's prime minus 1%, you get that locked up for 4 months. If prime changes, then obviously prime changes.
Yeah, it's good right now. I mean, if you're thinking of buying over the next 4 months, get locked in right now. I mean, as Frank says, rates could be going up, so get locked in as soon as you can.
But it's a win-win to find a house now because, you know, the competition isn't so stiff. You've got rates that are starting to climb slowly. I'd jump in as quick as I could.
I would, too. It's a great time to be a buyer in this market. I know it was frustrating in the first half of the year, but you're in the driver's seat right now. There's lots of opportunities, lots of choice. The only thing is right now we're seeing a lot of people who are holding off. We see a lot of tire kickers at this time of year because people are holding off to that spring market to get their house on the market, which there's times I don't blame them. There's times where I do blame them. But right now, if you're a seller and you're thinking of holding off, I get your house on the market. There's a lot of buyers looking and there's not as much choice. With only 1,824 homes for sale on the market, there's not a lot of choice out there. I mean, we haven't been this low in quite a while. I mean, this is pandemic days. So I would get your house on the market. And if I'm a buyer, now's a great time to buy. Really good time to buy.
That's what I'm saying. Like if I'm a buyer right now and I'm thinking rates are starting to creep a little bit, why would I wait so my mortgage would cost me more? If I buy in January, February, or March, plus there'll be more competition, and who knows, prices may go up again.
And they may. We might go into a really crazy market come the spring again. Who knows, right? It's, will we ever do what we did this spring? I'd be hard pressed to think we would because it was just insane. But
a lot of it's going to be mindset too, right, Paul? Because now things are opening up. And now we're just now getting into a situation where you feel very comfortable going out. And January, when more restrictions are gone, and maybe even March when the masks are gone, it could end up being a frenzy again.
Yeah, it very well could be. It very well could be. And who knows? We have learned, I mean, we're in a fourth wave. We've learned to live with COVID. We've learned to do everything with COVID. So I don't think COVID has any impact whatsoever on the real estate market right now.
But I think mindset does, though. I think
mindset does. Yeah. 100% mindset does. Because there's still people, even in my company, that, you know, like I had my team event yesterday. We all went axe throwing. There's a bunch of people that did not come. They didn't want to be in an environment where there's lots of people in a room. And I completely understand where they're coming from.
And every one of them missed you, I noticed.
Yeah.
And not only that, the ones that didn't show up is because they thought they were going to have to pay.
They thought, here's my son. He forgets I'm on the radio and he's calling me, you know,
of course. It's only been 14 and a half years. It's
14 and a half years. Started. He's calling me during my radio show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Frank, I noticed the gap between a 5 and 10 has closed a lot.
It's closed a little bit, and only because the bond markets have really spiked on the 5-year, not as much on the 10-year, and then some of the lenders are trying to get the 10-year. You know, the federal government is leaning towards trying to make a 7 and a 10-year mortgage more you know, closer to the 5-year rate. So we'll see. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the banks decide that, not the government. But I don't know, maybe with a little prodding, they will do that. But
that's another reason, though, you might want to go variable because these new government programs could be coming in the next 6-8 months. Go variable until you see what's gone down, right?
Yeah, true. Except for, again, if you go variable and fixed rates go up, then, you know, again, I mean, I wouldn't go variable waiting for government programs. I would go variable because you honestly think you're further ahead with the variable, and then You know, like I said, I think if you go variable, you have to come to terms with the fact that locking in might be difficult for you, because when you do, when you start to see the prime goes up, and if you decide to lock in and the fixed rates are 1.25% higher, I'm going to say to you, but that could take another 2 years for prime to go up 1%, 1.25%. So why would you lock in now? Instead, set the payments at that higher amount and stay with the variable. So,
yeah, because everything you're putting down on it is gravy, right?
Of course, right towards the principal.
Birthdays.
Well, Steve, you celebrate yours. I just want to remind you to apply for the OAS, because I think you're at that age now. But a good friend of mine, Phil Ouellette, celebrating his birthday tomorrow. I want to give a shout out to Mike DiPaolo from Navarra Homes, who's managing my little upgrades that are happening here in my house. He's got every tradesperson here on time. It's amazing. For all we talk about the shortage of tradespeople, he's done a great job. So Mike from Navarra Homes. And big news today in our family. My daughter Katrina got engaged. She's out in Italy with her fiance, and he proposed to her today. So
awesome.
Congratulations to my daughter Katrina and Shafiq. So
you see what happens there, Paul? If it's Frank's daughter, you go to Italy before you ask.
Yeah.
You know what? They stayed away. I mean, you know, today's young generation, they love to travel. I mean, they, you know, they like to get their trips in, and they were really disappointed that COVID hit and they got, you know, they missed 2 years of trips, and they decided let's go to Italy. And then he approached me right before they left and said, I want to propose. So are you okay with that? And of course. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Paul, you got anything before we go?
I don't. Have a great week, everyone.
Yeah. Paul at paulrushworth.com. Frank N at mortgagebrokersottawa.com. Enjoy your week.
Thank you. And please continue to support local businesses and charities, everyone.